Good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Joe, and it's great to have you with us this morning, whoever you are. I'm part of the eldership team. I lead the eldership team, which oversees and cares for Grace Church. And it's great to be together this morning. I, like Jonathan, I am always inspired by the Olympics. I love the Olympics. I think it is the greatest show on earth. Any other Olympic fans, lovers? Yeah, come on, good, yeah. I love the kind of, they're humble people generally, aren't they, as well, who just have given their lives to this thing, and it's just a great joy to watch. I don't know if you've ever heard the suggestion that for every event, they should have an average person competing alongside them, which I think is a great idea. To kind of get some, because some of the events, it's not that easy to see how ridiculously good they are. So we can know, all right, so they're running under 100 meters in under 10 seconds. But what does that even mean? It would be good to see, I think, someone like me running alongside, and you could see really how fast they are going and get some perspective on it. Other events in the Olympics are more obviously kind of crazy to watch and hard to believe what they are doing. Do you know what I mean? You watch some of those events that are like that. Anyone see the speed climbing this year? That is ridiculous. They are climbing 15 meters, right? That's a long way up. And there was a new world record set this year, 4.74 seconds. If you've not watched it, go home and look it up. They literally look like spiders. They don't look like humans. It's crazy what they're doing. Trampolining, I think, is another one. Bryony Page got the gold. If you watch that, it's kind of, they bounce ridiculously high, do kind of flippity flip flip, spinny spin spin all over the place. You think they're going to break themselves, and they somehow then land on their feet and at the last moment, and then go up again and do it all over. And it's crazy. One more, synchronized swimming. I know it's weird. It's definitely, I think it's probably the weirdest event. But it's also really impressive. Like what they're basically doing, at the very least, a handstand underwater without touching the bottom, which I tried this week. It's very hard. It's crazy what they're managing to do. It's kind of weird, that event, but it is also crazy. I think the best way to describe it all is mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. Now, this morning, I'm talking from the Bible, and I am talking about the peace of God. And the reason I talk about the Olympics in this way is because I think one of the best ways to describe the peace of God is mind-boggling. The passage that we're looking at describes the peace of God as how it transcends all understanding. That could literally be translated as, it is mind-boggling. It does not, and it will not make any sense, the peace of God. You will not be able to get your head around it. If you've known the peace of God in certain times in your life, you know exactly what I mean when I say it is mind-boggling. You may have been in kind of undeniably and exclusively painful times. And whilst you have known real pain and struggle and sorrow in that moment, you may have also somehow, in a way that transcends all understanding, known deep and real peace. Maybe you know this pain or have known it, but have never known this peace, which makes no sense. Well, I'd say that peace is genuinely available today, this morning. That peace is available to you. I'm going to preach from the Bible, and then we're going to pray for that peace to come and be with us. I'm going to read from Philippians 4, verses 1 to 9. If you have a Bible, then feel free to open it up, but it's on the screen there as well. Philippians 4 says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This peace of God is a gift of grace from God. It is given mercifully. But the passage I just read is also clear that God is encouraging us to do certain things to help us to know this peace. Now, it is not a formula. It's important that we understand that it is not a formula. It's not, if you do this, then you get this peace, because it transcends understanding, right? If it was a formula, it would be understandable. I would be able to get our heads around it. And so it's not that at all. But God is saying through his word that if you want to know his peace, there are certain things that you can do to make yourself available to it, to open yourself up to it. Just like you might say to someone, if you want to live a peaceful life, don't live in central London, right? If you want to live a quiet life, then do that. There are things you can do to help yourself. It won't guarantee it, but there are things you can do. If you want to know the peace of God, then hear his word to you. So rather than spend time talking about what this peace is like, I will talk mostly on what God says to us about how we can make ourselves open and available to his peace, for two reasons. Main one is that that's the main thing the passage talks about. It's things we can do to know this peace. And then the second one is it's very hard to talk about something which is impossible to understand. So I'm not going to talk so much about it, but more about how we can know this peace. We are told one other thing about the peace of God, other than it is mind-boggling, and that is that this peace is like a guardian. It's like a sentry that stands guard around your heart and your mind. The peace of God is presented as like a soldier who is standing guard and protecting your heart and your mind. Your heart, when the Bible talks in this way, is the center of your being. It is how you are, not in a kind of British how are you way. I'm fine, thank you. But it's really how you are, is your heart, and God's peace protects it, your heart. Your mind is the source of your thoughts. It's not to stop you thinking at all, as we'll see more as we go on, but the peace of God stands guard and protects your mind from thinking about a sense of hopelessness and despair. And there's a chance to know this peace today. It'll probably take some courage to open ourselves, but there's an opportunity not to be wasted. I'm going to pray, actually. I'm just going to pause and pray now that God would open our hearts. God, we thank you that your peace is available to us this morning by the blood of Jesus. What a gift. We're not going to earn our way. We're going to work our way or sort it out ourselves, but you can give your peace. I believe you will. I pray right now, begin to open our hearts, even as has already been testified this morning, to knowing peace, surprisingly. Lord, I pray that your peace would be known. For those who are in despair, come and bring peace. For those who kind of, everything's going well, but maybe a sense of purposelessness, I pray for peace. Come by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. So one thing we are encouraged to do, perhaps a little bit confusingly, if we are struggling for peace, is to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. The Bible is emphatic. It might even seem a little bit insensitive to say this, actually, for those who are really struggling for peace. It might feel kind of an insensitive thing to ask, to do that. And you might be in that place. Maybe you're not. Maybe you've just been on happy holidays. It might be the highest moment of the year. But there are some for whom the high highs of others only make your lows feel even lower in this time. And so for the Bible to say to you in that low moment, rejoice all the time, might be hard to hear. It's not the same as kind of saying, always look on the bright side of life. I know that's a parody, but it's not saying that. It's not saying every cloud has a silver lining. That's not what this is saying, because it might be that it is just cloud for you right now. At some point, all of us will experience nothing but cloud. It feel like I can only know and experience cloud with no sense of silver lining. But it is to say that for a Christian, no cloud can ever overwhelm the light of the gospel. It doesn't just say rejoice, it says rejoice in the Lord. Don't ever let your circumstances lead you to forget the beauty of the gospel. It's not to undermine the difficulties, but it is to remind us of the beauty of the gospel, which stands for all time. This passage is definitely talking about the peace of God as something that we feel and kind of know in our souls and we experience. Often when the Bible is talking about peace, though, it's talking about peace with God. Not so much peace of God, but peace with God. That is forgiveness from our sins and the freedom and joy of relationship with God, being able to know him. It's not so much an experience, but a state of being at peace, if you know what I mean. There's no beef. We're at peace. Romans 5, for example, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's talking about having peace with God. That's who a Christian is. A Christian is someone who has peace with God. Someone who has been justified by faith through Jesus Christ. Jesus who has taken away our sin and given us his righteousness. It means that God's good, holy, righteous anger and wrath at our sin has been dealt with, and he no longer has wrath at our sin, but we are at peace with him. We are with him, reconciled to him. That's what it is to have peace with God. And now that we have, brothers and sisters, peace with God, we can now know the peace of God. And however dark, however big any cloud is, we have immeasurably good news to rejoice in. Always. Even if or as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we have peace with God. Objectively. Sometimes, actually, the cloud is just what we require to remind us that our deepest needs are not happy holidays, but our deepest need is peace with God. Sometimes the clouds remind us of that, and sometimes happy holidays distract us from our deepest needs. You know, when I talk about happy holidays, I'm not just talking about happy holidays, but all the things of life that this world offers can distract us from our deepest need, which is peace with God. And if you don't know that you have peace with God, it's going to be very hard to know true peace, the peace of God. So if you don't know this morning that you are at peace with God, then find it. It's available. That's available too. Give him your everything, and you can be with him. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. And why did he do it? He did it to bring us to God. so that we could be with him, have peace with him. It's beautifully brought together, actually, in the last verse, the passage we read, and the God of peace will be with you. He is the God of peace, and he will be with you. You can be with him because of all that he's done. That is, both we can have relationship with him and we can know his peace. Wherever you are at this morning, so I don't want to put a cloud if there isn't one. If you're high or if you're low or if you are somewhere in between, then the encouragement here is rejoice. Give glory to God. Praise him. Know joy. Rejoice in him. Another thing to do is to ask God what you want. Ask God for what you want. Ask him. Present your requests to God, it says. Bring your requests to him. We are saved as Christians. We are saved by grace alone. And we live under the new covenant. We've celebrated that with communion. We've celebrated all that Christ has done, that he has given himself so that we are now with God, under this new covenant. And under this new covenant, we don't need to present any kind of offering or sacrifice. It's not what we've done. We haven't re-sacrificed. That's been done. We don't offer anything because Christ, once and for all, has been offered, has been presented and sacrificed. So we don't offer or present anything apart from, we are told here, present something to God, your requests. Come before him and ask him for what you want. We're told to do that in the Bible. So if you're struggling this morning, maybe you're not struggling. Maybe you're feeling hopeless. Maybe you're feeling pretty hopeful. Either way, talk to God about what you are longing for, what your heart wants. We're told here not to be anxious about anything. Now, broadly speaking, the Bible talks about anxiety in three different ways. I'm not going to do it at length. I kind of did it a couple of weeks ago. There's relational anxiety, and that's healthy. You see a lot of that through this letter. Paul kind of feeling pain for those that he loves and others. And when we love people, we will be anxious about them. So I'm not talking about that here. Also, anxiety can be an illness from which we need help and healing. And medication and counseling can help, and God can help. And also, the Bible sometimes talks about anxiety in another way, kind of as unnecessary fretting, which I think we can do sometimes. And I think that's what's being talked about here. So don't be anxious about anything. Don't fret unnecessarily. Now, that probably is going to be a difficult thing to just stop doing, to just not be anxious. It doesn't just say don't be anxious, but there's a do this instead. Don't be anxious, but do present your request to God. We can start talking to God, even if we can't stop being anxious. We can start talking to God about what we want, which is what the Bible says is the antidote. Don't be anxious, but in every situation, present your requests to God. And again, we've already heard testimony of it this morning. Kylie coming and saying, I was anxious about coming, and then just new peace out of it in God when I was talking to God about it. And asking God for what you want, as discussed in the passage here, is to be done in a certain way. It's not kind of making demands of God in a haughty and entitled way. Like, it's not right, God. I deserve better than this. It's not really, that's not the picture that's being painted. It's by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. It's linked to the rejoice in the Lord. You come with thanksgiving. Ask with thanksgiving. Have a posture of gratitude in asking God for what you want. Again, it's not a formula. It's not, if you do this, then this will happen. But God is saying that if you have a posture of entitlement and only focus on how you feel like you don't deserve your sorrow, I don't deserve this. If that's your posture, it's going to be difficult to know God's peace. Instead, just tell God what you want from the situation. Just be honest and real with God. Now, it's not saying here that God will give you what you want, but he wants you to tell him anyway. He wants you to talk to him anyway. It may be that actually what you want is just not going to happen. You might be, you want someone who has died not to be dead. It might be that you want something that you have done to be undone, or something that has been done to you to be undone, like it never happened. It might be that it's not going to, but God wants you to tell him what you want anyway. He wants you to be real with him. He won't change history, but there is a peace in telling him what you want. And he may change your heart. So, yes, present your requests and ask him to help you by his Spirit to be open to him changing your heart, as well as, if not instead of, your circumstances around you. He might give you exactly what you ask for, but that's not the promise here. The answer may well be a no. You might know that it's going to be a no, but he will give you something greater. There is a deep promise here. He will give you what your heart truly wants. Ask and you will receive. There is a promise of peace here. Let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's a promise. The peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful picture. Your heart and your mind to be guarded in Jesus. That's a promise here. It's made multiple times, actually. It says, just kind of a throwaway, the Lord is near. Again, the passage finishes, and the God of peace will be with you. Jesus says himself, my peace I leave with you. God will give you what you need. And then rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Ask God for what you want. And also think about what is good. Verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I know the word good is not used. I'm using that as a kind of summary. It's significant that the Bible says this. Think about these things. That's why I said earlier, it's not empty your mind. The Bible encourages us to fill our minds, to think. Most ways of looking at the world, most worldviews in the world that we live in, don't encourage you to think about the big things. Because if you do, you'll end up with some kind of existential crisis. And you will be feeling even more despairing rather than leading to reassurance and peace. Now, they'll say, yeah, enjoy life. Make the most of it. Just don't give too much thought to the bigger questions, because that's not gonna help you. You want to empty your mind of that stuff. That's what Eastern religions and most worldviews would say. Empty your mind. Don't go to the big eternal things. This week, I had a very strange experience, really. I was sitting in a cafe in East Wittering, and I was prepping for this sermon, talking about peace that transcends understanding. And one of the reasons I like cafes is spying on people and kind of listening to other conversations. This guy came in, and he sat down. He's an interesting guy, you know, looked great, good-looking guy, and started having a conversation. He was clearly having a conversation about his social media strategy for his company. Well, that's interesting. And then kind of, I thought he was in his whispering, and I thought he was some kind of paddleboarding coach or something. It turned out he clearly is some kind of life coach. So he's talking to this guy because he's trying to know what to do with his social media. So he's explaining what his business is and what his ethos is and everything about it. And he would using language like, I want people to transcend their limitations, was one of his lines. Talking about living for a purpose higher than themselves and living towards a more harmonious society is what he wants to help his clients to do. He then said, I'm studying for the peace of God, transcends understanding. He says, for me, he said this, for me, the point of life is to find peace and contentment. It's just funny. It's just a weird thing. Like, what? I didn't actually get a chance to chat to him, which was a shame. What he means by this, I think, I mean, obviously, I'm presuming a little bit, but what he means is to find contentment with what you have around you. Because that's all there is. Just get to a point where you're content with what you've got, because there's nothing more than that. Don't worry about the bigger questions. The point of life is to find contentment with what you have. So questions like, yeah, but what's the point of life? But what are we here for? Or, but what happens when we die? Or is there a God? Or could that God even care about me? No, don't worry about that. The point of life is to find peace in your, you know, house and stuff. And if you've got, you know, an atheistic or even really an agnostic way of thinking, then really don't think too much about it, because we are all just matter. We don't really matter. It's all not worth thinking about. But also, if you're in a cloud, if there is nothing beyond your cloud, or you can't see beyond your cloud, then being content in your cloud is not going to happen. You're not going to get there. So it kind of, that's the worldview of most people, to just don't go there. But for the Christian can't think too much about these things. Again, God's spoken to us already about this morning. Sally coming saying, oh, one word, perspective. Paul's been talking loads in the previous chapter about this eternal perspective. We are citizens of heaven. He wants us to know. We await our Savior from there. We are pressing on to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. He's talking big picture. Don't forget or ignore the eternal. Dwell on it. Think about what is good. But it's not only talking about eternal things. When the passage says, think about what is true and noble and right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Now, I don't know, you might read that and think, what is that? What are those things? What am I even thinking about? And I guess for one thing to say, it's a good thing to think about. What is good? It's hard to answer when you think about what is good. Okay, what is good? It's not a straightforward thing. What is noble? What is right and pure? And ultimately, I think we kind of need to discern for ourselves to some extent. We can read scripture, read good things, fill our minds with good things. But I mean, fundamentally, you can't Google it, right? What is pure? What is right and admirable and excellent? You can't ask someone else. I think there's a sense in which we need discernment to know. There's actually a great book, which I'd recommend, by Hannah Anderson, called All That's Good. And the subtitle is Recovering the Lost Art of Discernment. And it's very conversational. She talks about how can we think about what is good. It's really just a whole book on this verse. But it's very kind of real life, and I mean, you just sowing seeds and things like that and dwelling on what is good and right and holy and playing board games she talks about. But it is. That is a lost art, discernment, in this world, because we want to just ask someone, want to Google it, and there's There's no shortcuts. Think about these things if you want to know peace. So if you want to know a mind-boggling peace, I'll go back. Then rejoice in the Lord all of the time. Ask God what you want. Ask God for what you want. Present your requests to Him, and think about all that is good. It's not a formula, but it's to make yourself open to it. It cannot be a formula because it's mind-boggling, right? Again, like, you won't get your head around it, this piece. In that sense, again, it's like someone scaling a 15-meter wall in 4.74 seconds. It's just mind-boggling. But we can know it in our hearts. And we're going to have a chance to do that now. If the band could come up, that would be great. You will not you'll not find this peace of God anywhere other than from the God of peace, right? And what a title. What a title for God, the God of peace. That's the God we worship. He's not the God of war. God of chaos is the God of peace that we worship. Now, peace is not God. We're not living for some experience, but peace does come from God. And there's a chance to know this peace this morning. Why don't we all stand now? And in a moment, if those are able to stand, in a moment I'm going to call people forward if you want to come and be prayed for to know peace. And so if Grace Group leaders could be on hand to come and pray, that would be good. Maybe this morning you're in turmoil, you're in a cloud, you know it, everyone around you knows it. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're not, you didn't even realize it, you just came this morning, maybe lacking a sense of purpose. But again, I think sometimes things can look great on the outside, but we're lacking purpose, and if we're lacking purpose, then we're probably lacking peace. I'd say this is not just for women, right? We need peace. Men need peace. It takes courage to come and put ourselves out there in a way. But there's an opportunity. It might be that the idea of you knowing peace just seems ridiculous. It doesn't. That's fine, because it doesn't have to make any sense. But there's an opportunity. I think the band can start playing whenever they're ready. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. I'm going to lead us in prayer where we are. And then again, where we are, I'm just going to encourage all of us to start. So I'll rejoice. We can say amen. Then I'm just going to encourage you to start where you are asking God for what you want. Just you know, you can say it in your mind. You can speak it out loud if you want. Just start presenting your request to Him. And then I'll call anyone who wants to kind of be prayed for that they might know this mind-boggling peace. I'll call you to come out your seats, come fill up the gaps. And I'll pray for you, and I'm seeing at some point. But let's pray together. Going to rejoice in the Lord together. Father, thank you that we can be with you. Thank you that we are those who have put our faith in Jesus. We are justified. We are redeemed. We are made righteous. We are sanctified. And probably most of all, we are reconciled to God. We are with you. We can know you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying. The righteous given for the unrighteous, once for all, to bring us to God. We rejoice in our salvation. We rejoice in our relationship with you. We rejoice that we, sinners though we are, we can be with God. A holy, righteous, good, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy God. We are with you by your grace and mercy, and we rejoice and thank you for all that you have done for us. We rejoice in you, O God. We rejoice in you, and we celebrate all that you have won for us.